Welcome to the Inside Look at Legal podcast, a podcast by lawyers and experienced litigators, bringing you an inside look at today's legal practices. Hosted by Keith Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more about the firm at www.arkattorneys.com. And now, let's begin today's Inside Look at Legal.
Welcome back to an Inside Look at Legal. My name is Sean Keith. I'm your host. I've got with me today one of our regular guests and my cohort in fighting pharmaceutical companies, Mason Bowling. Good morning, Mason.
Hi, Sean.
I wanted to bring you in today to talk briefly about some cases that we're handling, and they're the IVC, I call them the IVC filter cases. Can you explain to people about the IVC filters, what they are, what the lawsuit's about, and a little bit about the status of the litigation?
Sure. These are miniature devices that are very common in a lot of surgeries. What happened, regardless of what the actual surgery is, so there's two ways you might get an IVC filter. One is if you have a history of blood clots and for whatever reason you can't take blood thinners, or the blood thinners aren't doing enough for you. They implant this little cage-like device in your inferior vena cava that is supposed to trap clots before they can reach your lungs, brain, heart, etc., where they can really do damage. The other situation where you get one is if you have a history of clots or you're having a procedure that often leads to clots, and you can't really be on blood thinners at that time because you're under the knife, right? So they don't want people to have thin blood in that situation, so instead they'll use an IVC filter to capture any of the clots. These have been around for a very, very long time. Most of them in the early stages of the device were permanent. Okay. So they were implanted and they stayed there, didn't really do any damage. At some point they introduced temporary retrievable versions where you could have them implanted and then 30 days, 60 days after, whenever, they could be removed. The problem is, well, there's several problems, but one of them is that the retrievable filters often grow into the tissue or perforate through the IVC and get trapped there, and they're not able to be retrieved. And that's a problem because over time they break down and they break into pieces, and then, you know, those can travel to vital organs and cause serious damage, similar to the kind of damage they were supposed to prevent in the first place.
And were they promoting these as temporary or permanent?
No, they were definitely saying these are temporary, and that has some advantages supposedly over permanent implants. But again, it turns out in a lot of cases they didn't work like they were supposed to.
Okay. But they weren't taking a lot of them out, and they weren't telling the doctors to take a lot of them out. Isn't that true?
Yes. So, and while they were classified as being retrievable or temporary, there weren't good guidelines or clear guidelines given to surgeons and medical professionals about when they should be taken out or exactly how they should be taken out. And so a lot of times the doctors were in the dark about it or didn't fully understand when the procedure was supposed to take place to remove the filter. And not surprisingly, the longer that it's left in, the more likely that it gets embedded in the tissue and that sort of thing.
So as it turns out, we got a lot of people walking around with these quote-unquote temporary filters in that nobody's taking out.
Exactly. And it can create a potential ticking time bomb. We've had clients contact us. Their doctors have determined that the filter can't be easily removed because it is embedded in the tissue, but it's not really causing any immediate harm. And they just have to monitor it and do regular scans and that sort of thing to make sure that it doesn't break apart or cause any damage to the heart or surrounding organs.
All right. When we come back after this break, I want you to explain to folks the current status of the litigation, where these who the defendants are, where they've been filed, and that kind of thing. But before we get to that, I wanted to mention our website that covers specifically, it covers these inferior vena cava or IVC cases specifically. you've written an article about this on our dangerous-medicines website, correct?
Yep.
And what kind of information can people find on our website?
If there are drugs and devices out there that we're monitoring or pursuing cases on, it will appear on a easy-to-read list on dangerous-medicines. And you just click on it, and then you can see all the articles that we've posted about FDA warnings, lawsuits that have been filed, potential risks of the individual drugs, that sort of thing.
And I would encourage people to go on there. If you have questions, pick the phone up and call 1-800-698-3644. You're going to talk to myself or Mason or Kitty, our assistant. We all work together. We work on cases across the country, but we're all in the same office, and you're going to get a hold of us. That's one of the benefits of our firm. Mason, coming back to the IVC cases, so who are the defendants? Who made these filters?
Two big ones are Cook Medical, and the other one is C.R. Bard. Cook Medical cases have been consolidated, as these cases often are, in front of one judge. That one is in Indiana. All of the cases relating to the Bard filters have been consolidated before one judge in Arizona. Still in the relatively early stages of this litigation, there's still work being done on the issues common to all plaintiffs and all cases, like the development and manufacturing of the devices generally, the kinds of warnings that were provided, information that was provided to all doctors. At some point, they'll begin trying cases, a handful of cases in each place, to try and get a general idea of the value of the cases, how a jury would react to the evidence. And we're not quite there yet, but that's something that will probably happen in the next year or so.
I want to remind people here as we close that we've got an important election coming up in Arkansas in November, and it's the nursing home lobby has proposed that there are hard caps no matter what kind of injury or death they inflict upon one of their residents, that they are going to be limited in what can be recovered. And that becomes very important not only for nursing home cases, but cases like these, the IVCs. If you find out that a company has been doing things, and we often do, that not only are there problems, not only are there bad side effects, but that they in fact hide these bad side effects or bad actions. And if you're limited with a hard cap, they're just going to build it into their price of doing business. And Texas has tried this, and it's changed absolutely nothing. Again, it's in Arkansas, it's the nursing home lobby that is an industry that is really pushing for this. Clearly, they have supported and paid a lot of money to a lot of legislators. But even despite that, they have not been successful. So now they're going to try to amend our state constitution, which is unheard of, quite frankly. I would encourage everyone to not only vote against it, vote no in November, but to go to Protect AR Families on Facebook and look at the information that that group is providing. AARP is against this. A group of farmers have come out against this. So many people are against it, but if people aren't educated, they won't know. So, Mason, in regards to the IVC filters today, as I understand it, they were implanted to prevent blood clots. They were intended to be temporary, and particularly when you had surgery and they would take you off your blood thinners. They were designed so you could retrieve these. Unfortunately, because of a number of things, the companies didn't direct the doctors to retrieve them. It was confusing, and so these are left in many, many hundreds and thousands of people, and these temporary retrievable filters will break down into pieces and then injure you, sometimes catastrophically.
Yep, that's it in a nutshell.
All right, and the two defendants are Cook Medical, and those cases are in Indiana, and C.R. Bard, which is in Arizona, and it's still in the relatively early stages of the litigation. So if people think they had one of these implanted, I'd invite them to call us at 1-800-698-3644 and talk to Mason and I and let us figure out if, in fact, you do have. Mason, thanks for coming in this morning.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Inside Look at Legal with your hosts, Keith, Miller, Butler, Schneider, and Pollack. Learn more at www.arkattorneys.com.